More than 50 years after the Federal Fair Housing Act was passed, African Americans still face discrimination, predatory lending practices, and other obstacles to owning a home. Housing justice is the topic of this year's annual Martin Luther King Day teach-in at Illinois Wesleyan University. Teresa Haley, president of the Illinois chapter of the NAACP, is the keynote speaker. She tells GLT's Judy Valente opportunities for home ownership and for affordable, quality rental housing remain key concerns in the African American community.
For blacks and other minorities, it's worse now than it was before the Great Depression in the 1930s.
What makes you say that? What's the evidence of that?
Predatory lending, making it harder for blacks and other minorities to get accurate credit reports. A lot of times they have to pay for them when their white counterparts, based on their economic background, can obtain those same credit reports free. Oftentimes they have to pay PMI, which is the insurance. If they have low income or not a lot of credit, they will give them a loan, and usually that loan is given at a higher percent rate, and also they have to pay the property mortgage insurance until they've made so many payments, then it can be refinanced at a lower rate.
Are there challenges now that did not exist 50 years ago, or has that somewhat improved?
Well, I think there are different challenges. With the predatory lending, I think people prey on certain communities, poor communities, communities of color. And I think now it's more prevalent that they're finding other ways to disguise discrimination in housing by saying, you know, come, we'll give anyone a house. Because in America, especially Black America, we believe that owning a house is one way to showing that you have wealth.
Do the statistics show that more African Americans are homeowners now, for example, than before in our history?
Statistics that I've reviewed recently show that they are less homeowners than there were in the past. Based on the predatory lending, people losing their jobs, based on foreclosures, people doing reverse mortgages. As a matter of fact, I have some family members' parents own their home for 30, 40 years, and the homes are supposed to be left to the children. But the parents, as they got older and retired, because they did not prepare adequately for retirement, they did a reverse mortgage. When one parent died, the other parent was left with that mortgage. When the other parent died, the children were only given so many months to decide if they wanted to buy the mortgage, take on the property, or lose the home. And they were in a position, because they owned their own home, that they could not continue to take over their parents' home. So that home was lost, as opposed to staying in the family for generations to come. And these people had four generations in their family.
The mortgage crisis of 2008-2009 really hit minority families very heavily. Do you feel that African Americans and other minority families have been able to dig out of that crisis yet, or is it an ongoing situation, an ongoing heartache for many of them?
It is an ongoing heartache for many of them, including people in my own immediate family. I brought my home in 1993 after graduating from graduate school at a very low interest rate. But getting divorced, I had to go back and refinance my home. Because I went from two incomes to one income, they did not want to provide me with a lower interest rate, although I had owned the property for over 10 years. I am grateful today that I have probably one of the lowest interest rates that I could have, but I've been on my job for 25 years as well.
What about renters? Do you feel that there are enough protections for renters, because so many people in the minority community do have to rent for the obvious reasons that you mentioned before, that they're unable to get a mortgage?
Well, I think one of the challenges that renters have, especially those with Section 8, is finding quality housing. A lot of the places that they place them in aren't worth staying. In terms of the quality of the house, they're not well insulated, so people find themselves paying more money in utility bills because of the houses that are made available through Section 8 programs aren't quality houses. They're not well maintained. They're not well built. They're not well insulated. the landlord at the first of the month, they're going to get their money regardless. But that person who lives in that housing, Section 8 housing, really has nowhere else to go unless they can find someone else who's willing to take that voucher. For example, a person may be told that their share of payment may be $400, and then Section 8 may pay $800. So actually, a mother with four children could probably only afford to pay $400 to $600, but because she has a Section 8 voucher, that same house goes, he can jack that same property up for $1,200. And if there are a lot of slum landlords out there, because everyone's trying to get rich off of the back of poor people, and especially those who can't afford to buy housing and have to rent.
Teresa Haley is the president of the Illinois chapter of the NAACP. Thank you so much for talking about this.
Thank you, Judy. Appreciate it.
I'm Judy Valente.
GLT's series Landlord v. Tenant last September investigated the state of low-income rental housing in Bloomington Normal. You can find that series and more about the Illinois Wesleyan King Day teach-in at WGLT.org.